Hello, welcome to Phoenix Radio. My name is Chris, and I'm part of a group called JANTS, which is an acronym for all involved. They've got Jason, Alex, Nikki, myself, Chris, and Eve, who you will meet over the coming weeks. Coming up on today's show, we will have the comedian, Kat Davidson, talking about the issues around the Arch Barker situation and dramas with the audience distraction and in live shows. Now, today's weather update, we've currently 21 degrees, looking for a top of 27 with a slight chance of rain throughout the afternoon. And Ipswich has a high of 28 degrees, patchy fog, slight chance of showers throughout the afternoon. And of course, coming up, we're going to hear from local comedian Kat Davidson, as I said before, who weighs in surrounding the controversy around the Arch Barker evicting a breastfeeding mum from his show. But now it's Brisbane's very own rock band, named after a Neil Young song, Powderfinger, with My Happiness. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to JANTS here on Phoenix Radio. For those who love attending live comedy, a reminder that the Brisbane Comedy Festival starts the 26th of April to the 26th of May, with some great names doing some shows, including someone who has been in some scrutiny in the news when he ejected a mum and a baby from his Melbourne comedy show. Arch Barker is the man in the spotlight when he asked a breastfeeding mother to leave his show as the baby's crying was ruining his train of thought, he said. A very pressing topic with a lot of factors surrounding it. Today we have Brisbane comedian Kat Davidson to give us some insight into the industry and the situation we're dealing with. How are you doing there, Kat?
I'm very well, yourself?
Oh, fantastic. It's great to talk to you. Now, we have a number of questions regarding these issues and how to handle them from the point of view of being in a comedian's shoes. So Arch Barker did this in response to a baby crying. What are your thoughts on how he handled it and everything up until now?
I think it's a tricky one because I wasn't in the room and I think that a lot, I've heard so many versions of exactly what went down in that room. How loud was it? How firm was Arja's response? What did she say back? Those sorts of things. There's been many different accounts. But I think the facts are that there was a woman in the audience four rows back with a baby that was making enough noise that the comedian could hear it, which raises quite a few issues to start with, you know. So should the venue have allowed that to occur? It does say very firmly and clearly on ticketing that it's strictly 15 plus. And the baby is many things. Over 15 is not one of them.
That's right.
You know, how loud was it? How disruptive was it? How firm was he in terms of what he said to her and what happened next? No one can be really sure unless they were there. But as a comedian, if I had a noise in my audience that was loud enough and persistent enough that everyone could hear it, I would have to address it.
Right. And what would be your standard way of handling something like that while live on stage?
I would try and find out what was happening. I mean, a baby's noise is fairly clear, but a lot of people don't realise because we're so visible on stage, we can't see you. Past about the first row, we've got big stage lights in our eyes and you are just an amorphous mass. So he would have been just looking into the darkness and trying to figure it out and possibly wondering in his head, why is this happening? Why am I hearing a baby right now?
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah.
What's occurring? So I would probably, if it was me, I'm not speaking on Arja's behalf, but I would sort of say, hi, what's happening? What's going on? Who have we got here? And try and kind of keep it a bit light to start with.
Yep.
And then if it was, you know, it's, oh, I'm blah, blah, and my baby's just feeding, then I would try to gently kind of say, that's fantastic. I'm a mum myself. Is there any way that maybe we could do the loud bit outside? And then you guys can both come back in a bit later and try and keep it kind of gentle. And then if they refused, then I would hope, and I'm not saying that that's what happened in this case, but if that was the case, if it got more difficult to change the situation, I would hope the venue would step in.
That's actually a very good point. But what do you believe would be the backlash or response from perhaps someone with a disability who cannot control the, you know, noises and laughter they make? And do you think they'd be kicked out as well?
That's a very different situation. Very different. I would hope that the comedian would be informed that someone who may not be able to control the noise that they make is in the audience so that they don't accidentally say something horrific, because you might think, if you don't know that, you might think someone's drunk. You might think that someone who is or should be in control of the noises that they make is making noises they shouldn't be making. And if a drunk person does that, we can and will be quite brutal. But if you were not informed of the situation, you could get yourself in all manner of cancellable trouble. But in this instance, that's really not the case because the mother, I mean, no, the baby has no control, but the mother does.
That's absolutely correct, yeah.
So, yeah, I would hope that she would, I hope I would be able to go wherever I like, but if I'm making noise or my child is, I would try and remove myself from the situation and quiet the child and then return.
Absolutely. So in terms of your career, because I know you're one of the great comedians in Brisbane, you and Lindsay Webber, two names that come to mind, are sounds and distractions from the audience something that easily affects you, or do you know any comedians that get affected by that kind of stuff?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, very much so. It's hard to think. You know, we are, I hope we make it look easy, but it isn't really. We're thinking on our feet. We're trying to hear very carefully what's happening in the audience. So are the audience laughing where we wrote that they would? Or if they're not, we've got to switch gears. So it's a very finely tuned dance that we're doing in the moment in real time. So if there is a lot of noise, it can interrupt your train of thought. And babies' noises, they're actually designed by nature to be as disruptive as possible because we're supposed to hear them and want to help and therefore keep babies alive. So,
that's right.
You know, our brains are built to not ignore that sound. So it would be, I would find it very, very distracting. And Arj's act, I've worked with Arj many times. He is word perfect. I mean, he looks off the cuff, and he can be. He can interact with the audience. But he's worked really hard crafting his jokes so that every silence has a meaning and every word has to land a certain way. And if he can't do that, if there's a reason for sound, I've worked with him when the sound wasn't great, and I found that really threw him in terms of just the microphone sound. So if there's a baby and that's quite loud, and again, I wasn't in the room, I don't know how loud it was, that would be, he and most comedians would find that very challenging.
Absolutely, yeah. As you said, if you've got something planned meticulously and something does it wrong, you've got two sides to your brain, and sometimes it can get you in a bit of a kerfuffle.
Sure, and we're also very conscious. I don't know how much the tickets were to Arj's show, but I would imagine they weren't cheap. He's in demand. He's thinking, I think he said 700. I don't know what the capacity of the Athenaeum is. I've got 700 people in here who've paid a lot of money to see me, and I want to give them the best show possible. And he would be aware that they would be distracted as well. So that would be in his mind as well, as someone who wants to give the best experience that he can, that there is a reason that experience is being affected. And he's trying in the moment, while still keeping the show running, to deal with that. So there is, if he was abrupt, and I know, he has an American accent, so just the sound of that can sound a little firmer than an Australian to us.
Well, that's amazing. Well,
may have happened.
Thank you so much, Kat, for your awesome insight into stand-up comedy and the etiquette for handling distractions while on stage. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
No worries at all. That was Kat Davidson there, Brisbane comedian extraordinaire. In the studio with me now is Tracy Bold from Greater Springfield RSL sub-branch. Welcome, Tracy. In the light of tomorrow being Anzac Day, we wanted to talk today about the planned events for tomorrow. But first, what is the meaning behind Anzac Day?
Well, I think everyone has a their own version of what they classify as their meaning, but it's basically we come together to commemorate those who made the sacrifices to allow us to have our freedom today.
Perfect. That's an excellent response. Now, how long have you been doing the Dawn service?
I've been involved with the Dawn service now for 12 years in total. So it started with USQ here, as we are today, in 2007. So Debbie Maunder, who was working here, she was very much the start of bringing it here. She was able to go to Gallipoli and get a Gallipoli seed and a plant of the pine, the Gallipoli pine, which was planted here in 2007. And then 2015, it was transferred over to the new theatre that was built at Rebel Parklands. And 2015 was the last year that they did, which was the 100-year Anzac anniversary.
Wow. That's amazing. So what is the engagement you get from the younger generation these days?
We have a very large engagement with our younger generations. We've got 14 schools here that we work with. So they're very much part of it. So they come in. We have a section where we have all our students come in. We have students on our stage. So I also attend a lot of the local school Anzac Day services through the week, So it's very much a very big part in our younger generations today.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, can you tell us about the events planned for tomorrow?
Wow, 5:30 dawn service. It's a very, very quick service, very intense, but it starts dead set on 5:30.
Nice and early. Early birds get up and pay some respect to the Anzacs. I love it. It's a beautiful day. Now, what other events do you do?
Well, we attend our local school services that they invite us to. We do the Remembrance Day down here at Rebel in November. And that's pretty much, you know, a fair whack just there. We are volunteers.
That's it. That's absolutely right. What do you feel like? Do you feel like to get our own memorial, the light tower? How do you think that feels?
Well, yeah, USQ handed over after the 100-year anniversary to Ralph Breeden, who headed the Springfield Light Tower Committee, and with several of us all. But he was the instrument person who created the memorial and got the funding, and with David, our local councillor David Morrison. And a lot of, you know, people who assisted to get that memorial up. And then in 2019, we had one of the largest Anzac Day dawn services. We had over nearly 9,000 attendees. So we knew then that we were growing as a defence community. So we all made a decision to establish ourselves with the RSL. We knew that they had gone away from the, you know, the alcohol and the gambling and put the services clubs into their own and go back to advocacy. So we thought it would be, you know, great to bring those services into our community. We are one of the fastest growing defence communities in Australia as we stand today.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Tracy, for your taking time to talk to me today. For more information on tomorrow's dawn service, visit, what website can we visit for that?
RSL Queensland.
rslqueensland.com.au. Beautiful. Well done. Stay tuned for our live cross to Eve in Graceville talking about International Guide Dogs Day, which is today. What a fun fact. And reports that some dogs are being denied entry into businesses. You're listening to Jance on Phoenix Radio, and today is International Guide Dogs Day. We have Eve Kelly, who was in Graceville with Paralympian Jared Gossens, and not forgetting his dog Boss, talking about life with a guide dog.
All right, so we have Jared Gossens with us today, talking about life with his guide dog Boss. How are you today?
Good, thank you, Eve.
That's great. What is it like to navigate going out with the fear of denial for entry to businesses and taxis with a guide dog?
I think today being International Guide Dog Day, it's a great chance to, I suppose, generate awareness of the opportunities to travel with the guide dog. And obviously there are the, I suppose, people who may not necessarily be aware of the rules and the guidelines that allow guide dogs to enter into restaurants, hotels, hospitals, even taxis. And there's still that, I suppose, challenge, would it be with taxis and making sure they're aware that guide dogs are allowed to travel in a taxi, but more so obviously guide dogs can travel anywhere, planes, trains, and it's people being aware of obviously their training, their ability, and also their professionalism obviously as a working dog in those environments.
Thank you so much. Are the rules different for guide dogs rather than assistant dogs?
Yeah, look, there's going to be some differences, whether it be an assistance dog or a guide dog. A guide dog obviously is at the top of the tree, if you want to call it that way, in the sense of they're allowed to enter any number of premises. There's only two locations that a guide dog isn't allowed, and that's the back of an ambulance and obviously the operating theatre of a hospital. So, for example, I can take my guide dog into the wards of a hospital, but obviously not the operating theatre, as most people aren't allowed anyway. But outside of that, so look, you know, guide dogs are free to roam and work with the owner. And I think today, on International Guide Dog Day, it's a great chance to celebrate the work of guide dogs, as well as obviously the independence and, I suppose, the opportunities they give to a person who is blind or has low vision.
That's very interesting. I didn't realise that there were that many differences. Final question, do you get to keep your service dog, guide dog, for a long time because they come accustomed to you?
Yeah, look, every guide dog handler is very different in the way they actually will retire their guide dog. So my guide dog Boss is coming up for retirement. He's 11 years of age, so he's well past his retirement. He's knocking on the door saying, hey, Dad, you know, when do I get the chance to put up the paws and take out my my super fund of dog food? But for him, once he retires, he'll stay in my backyard as a normal household pet. He will be my fifth guide dog, so I'm now onto my sixth guide dog almost. And from the journey of my guide dogs, they've obviously had a chance to enjoy retiring and enjoying that sort of life where they become the family pet. And sure, they'll obviously, in some respects, miss working, but I think Boss has certainly done, you know, many years, obviously being 11. He's now at the age of 77, so he's well past his retirement, or usual retirement, of age 65.
That's so crazy. Thank you so much, Jared, for your insight into life with Boss.
Thank you.
And to those listening, Jared is set to attempt the swim of the English Channel in August, so please keep a look out for that.
Not with the dog, though.
Not with the dog. No, he's staying here.
That's right, yes.
Back to the studio with you, Chris.
Beautiful. Thanks, Eve. Stay tuned for Jason as he chats to locals about the meaning of Anzac Day. All right. 25th of April is Anzac Day, one of the most important days in Australian history. There's a lot of different meanings to different people. So we got one of our presenters, Jason, head out into Springfield and see what ask the people what they think Anzac Day really means to them.
Well, to me, Anzac Day is a day where we remember people who served for Australia in the wars and stuff. And even though Anzac specifically is about a group in World War One, I feel like Anzac's when we remember people who've served in all wars for Australia.
Anzac Day is really important because not only do we get a day off of work, but we also have to pay respects for the soldiers and the people who worked during World War One, who did some amazing things to the country, and they died in there. What they mean is the inspirations and the learning more stories about the people who fought in that war. Important day for us Australians and New Zealanders to pay respects to beloved soldiers.
What Anzac Day means to me is remembering that least we forget and having that 1 minute of silence just to pay our respect to all those who sadly lost their lives.
What Anzac Day means to me is being able to honour the people that have fallen for my freedom and being able to celebrate my life and being able to take that 1 minute stand for them to remember them.
Absolutely beautiful. Lest we forget, it's the one day of the year where you can just take time to just reflect on, you know, the past and thank God for where you are now, or thank whatever if you're religious, non-religious, just thank these brave men and women from the past. They've given us the future we're living in right now. But with that, coming up next, I've got Red Gum's John Schumann with the Vagabond Crew and Only 19. Up next, we talk to the head of sport at Channel 7, Ben Davis. Ben, mate, how are you?
Mate, pumped, ready to rip into what I reckon is the biggest day on the Australian sporting calendar, Anzac Day tomorrow. So it's going to be an absolute ripper.
Beautiful. What can you tell us about the Anzac Day round? I mean, obviously, biggest sporting day on the sporting calendar.
Yeah, it does. And look, it kicks off tonight with the AFL getting into it. But tomorrow in the rugby league, we're going to see the Warriors and Titans in a nice little trans-Tasman battle there start things tomorrow afternoon. Sold out in New Zealand for weeks, this one. And the ceremony promises to be nothing but spectacular. The pageantry around Anzac Day is going to be huge. But then the two traditional clashes on Anzac Day in the rugby league, it's the Roosters and Dragons, which is, again, sold out, 42,500 on hand at the Sydney Football Stadium, or Allianz Stadium, as it's now announced. And at the MCG, in AFL, you've got Collingwood and Essendon, who've been doing battle on Anzac Day for decades now. It's a sight to behold, 90,000, 95, maybe even 100,000 at the MCG. And it's not about the noise they make. It's actually the silence that they create, having that many people together in one spot ahead of Anzac Day. And it doesn't matter if you don't follow Collingwood, don't follow Western, and don't follow the AFL. It's the biggest game outside of the grand final in AFL. So it's a huge day tomorrow. And then tomorrow night in the AFL, the Brisbane Lions in action in Canberra, the first time they played on Anzac Day for 10 years. And this one, they're playing the Giants GWS. They've had
Well, we've had a mixed night at the tribunal last night. Jesse Hogan, the competition's leading goal scorer, got off his striking charge, so he's free to play. But Toby Green, every other team's public enemy number one, won't be lining up for the Giants tomorrow night. So Brisbane can breathe a little bit easier there.
As a Lions fan, I'm definitely going to be breathing easy tonight, having a good night's sleep. Now, the LIV Golf, what can you tell us about that?
Oh, but this is only in its infancy. It's only his second year in Australia, but we saw the scenes in Adelaide last year. It was absolutely sensational. The rock and roll version of golf. Cameron Smith leading the Aussie charge, the Queenslander. He's the captain of the Ripper GC, the Ripper Golf Club. Look, we don't really get into the team events there, but just the spectacle that is LIV Golf, the party hole there. We saw the hole in one last year from Chase Koepka, and it was scenes like you wouldn't believe, and you haven't seen on the golf course before. They reckon Adelaide is one of the standouts on the LIV Tour. So back for a second year, they're expecting 120,000 over the 3 days. Fisher is going to be there playing. He'll be on the decks. Cam Smith got up there with him last year and did a shoey. So the golf too is spectacular. But look, on a sporting sense, Cam Smith, it's not about getting a good result here. He needs to sort of get back into the groove. He got into it at Augusta as much as he could during the Masters, where he finished tied for sixth. But the conditions there were really, really tough. He climbed up the world rankings, and why that's important, but obviously they don't get ranking points for playing LIV Golf, but the rankings are still how you qualify for the Olympic Games. The top two golfers from each nation get to play or represent their country at the Olympic Games. So Cam is desperate to represent Australia, go to an Olympic Games. He needs to be in the world's, needs to be in Australia's top two ranked golfers. At the moment, he isn't because of not being earned ranking points. He still has a chance to do that when he plays the majors. What's he got up? The USPGA and the US Open coming up within the next month. So he can. So this is a tune-up for that, a warm-up for that. So on course, that's exactly what Cam Smith's trying to do. Have a good warm-up, a good tune-up for the next majors coming through to work his way up the rankings, but also to put on it's going to be a great show, which you'll be able to see live on the screens of Seven all this weekend. Cannot wait. It's going to be an absolute ripper. LIV Golf Adelaide.
Oh, fantastic, Ben. Thanks for getting us up to date with all things sport. And this has been Jantz.
Absolute pleasure.
Oh, absolute pleasure to have you, mate. This has been Jantz. Make sure you tune in next week from 12 to 1 for more topical stories. Eve will be your host next week. And taking us out is Lizzo with her track To Be Loved.